Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learned. I'm Dan.
Hi, I'm Razzle. Hi, guys.
What's up, Razzle? It's been a minute.
Hi, Dan. How have you been? I've been
traveling, gallivanting, cavorting. Pretty much I've been everywhere except here. Yeah. But I'm back.
You're back.
I missed you guys.
I missed you, Dan.
Yeah, seriously. I love traveling. It's cool when I get to travel for work, but that gets exhausting. And
Yeah, you've been gone for a while, and I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. I'm very glad I'm here because today, I'm super excited about today's guest because she was one of my favorite guests that has been on the show before.
Yeah, same here. She was on our, I believe, our sixth or fifth.
Yeah,
or sixth episode.
Back in the single digit days.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah, back in '13.
Yeah. I was looking at Aristotle because I know what he's doing. I see him on his computer like he's looking up what number she's been on. But
it's all right. It's lost to the sands of time. No one can say for sure.
We talk faster than he can Google, apparently.
He's banging. He's banging and deciding because every time that happens, Jonah Ray gets a paycheck.
God damn you, Bing.
Anyway, guys, super fun episode today. Yeah. Thank you again for all the kind words in the comment sections and the iTunes reviews and the stars you've left us. We appreciate them. Yeah. We appreciate you.
We appreciate you guys. You know, we appreciate you giving us your ears.
Yeah. Don't have a sponsor this week,
nope.
But you know what? Yet. Go check out T-Fury. They're cool dudes.
Go check out T-Fury. Go check out Nerdist.com. Check out T-Fury.
It's an okay website.
Yeah, it's all right. T-Fury's good.
Keep me in business. Keep me employed.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other cool websites that
you
go to.
Check out... trying to think what I've been using recently. It's been really hot recently, so check out the fucking weather, because it says the forecast will be exactly what you're thinking when you step outside.
That's awesome. I love
That's
it.
A dot com.
It's like when Ren and Stimpy would always show those close ups of their noses
or
and it's always gross. It's like that's how the heat out here has been.
Yeah, it's been a little sticky recently. Which I gotta say, I think global warming is real because it never used to be this humid, but it's been kind of humid recently.
There's no scientific evidence to back up that.
Speaking of global warming, if I just saw Snowpiercer today.
I watched that. I mean, here's the thing, I have the internet, and it was on the internet.
Okay, here's the thing, I've had a digital file of it for a long time. Real talk, though, didn't watch it, waited for it to come out in theaters, and it is so good.
I enjoy it.
It's fantastic, really smart, capable sci-fi.
Yeah.
Go see it.
It's got Chris Evans in it.
And Tilda Swinton as the incredible Tilda Swinton.
God damn, Tilda Swinton's so
good. She's so good.
Yeah.
So
good. It's a really good movie, Snowpiercer. Go see it.
Yeah, go see that. And while you're driving there, listen to the rest of this podcast, because we got a really exciting episode for you today.
Really
so
fun.
let's get to it,
fuck it,
shall we?
We like this guest, and this guest likes you. And this is a great podcast, really fun, a lot of cool, fun facts and trivia. So without further ado, today we learn number
44 with April Richardson.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Go. Absolutely. Well, first off, let's get in this. What we're
talking
about.
Sorry.
Well, no worries. No worries.
These gems.
No, absolutely. This is good. Well, I mean, we're recording anyway. So, la-da-la-da, yada-yada-da. This is Today We Learned. As usual, my name is Razzle.
And I'm Dan.
And with us is the very funny, welcome back, April Richardson.
Hi.
Yeah. You can't hear it, but we just released a bunch of confetti into the recording studio. I can't hear anything out of these.
Well,
that would also be because this does not seem to be on.
No, here we go. Got some technical difficulties.
It's all right. We can't perform
this
unless we can hear our own voices.
This is what happens when you get bumped up from intern to full-time staff member.
Yeah.
So anyways, I know we're rolling anyways, but so welcome back, April Richardson.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Thanks for coming
back. As all of our listeners know, we start off every episode with the guest providing a fact about themselves or something they learned recently, and you already provided a fact you learned recently about Ivan Drago.
Yes.
And a fact here on the sheet, we were discussing the best Rocky movies. Mr. T, everybody knows Mr. T, Clubber Lang.
Clubber.
Yes, of course.
Clubber Lang from Rocky III. Anytime people talk about Mr. T, they they refer to him as his catchphrase, "I pity the fool," or like even on Pee-wee's Big Adventure,
right?
"I pity the fool who don't eat my cereal." People equate that to the A Team because Mr. T was in the A Team, but Mr. T never said that in the A Team.
No.
He actually says, "I pity the fool" in Rocky III.
And that's where it originated.
That's where it came from.
He was in Rocky.
Was A-Team before Rocky 3?
No.
No, it wasn't on TV before
Rocky,
then.
He was, Mr. T was Clubber Lang before he was in the A-Team. He was cast in the A-Team because of his role as Clubber Lang.
Wow.
In Rocky 3.
I think when I was a kid, I thought it was the reverse, maybe. I thought A-Team came first.
Yeah.
I never heard
it is alphabetical. So
yeah, so therefore in years, it should have been first. Yeah, okay, weird.
Yeah, I never really, put the, I never did the math of when what came out or anything like that.
Right. I just remember I was younger than I am now when all of those things came out. Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I do math.
Was just, was I young? Cool.
Yes.
I believe it.
And was I younger
than
today?
You guys know the origin of Mr. T's chains, correct?
No.
I don't.
Oh, well, he used to be a bouncer at a nightclub. And so when people would leave behind chains and all that, he would wear it outside. So that way, usually if they came by, they could get it back.
He was the lost and found.
He's walking lost and found. But in the meantime, he was just getting iced out as fuck.
Yeah.
Right.
Mr. T sounds way better than Mr. Lost.
Because I bet also people, there's no way people saw that and thought, oh, I can get it back from him. They were like, oh, he owns it now. He owns it.
Yeah.
One ever went out to him and be like, excuse me, sir.
That they might have left it behind because they got kicked out or they might have been banned. So that way they wouldn't have to go back inside the club. They could just come up to T.
But then you go up to him, you look at him, and you go, these are yours now.
Yes.
Excuse me,
sorry, Mr. Lang.
Yes.
Excuse me, I seem to have left my necklace here the other...
I left a chunky bracelet.
Yes. And then it's like, it's yours now. It's cool.
My bangles.
Yeah.
So that's a fun fact about Mr. T there.
Yeah, that's...
Cool.
That's a shtick.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Now you know. And knowing's half the battle.
It's true.
That's just that.
Half the battle of iced tea.
Oh my
trivia.
God. Whoa.
Or iced tea, Mr.
Holy,
T.
Holy cat. Holy crap. If his wiki page is to be believed, he was once offered $75,000 to anonymously assassinate a target. And I quote, "He offered me $75,000 to kill his friend. The last envelope and letter contained a round-trip airline ticket, First Class United.
Holy
plus there was $5,000 wrapped in a little package, $1,500 bills. I tell you the honest truth, when I saw that money, I didn't believe it was real."
Okay, first of all, that's James Bond shit. That's how people in James Bond movies are asked to assassinate people.
That's Seth Rogen and James Franco shit.
Yes,
except, Mr. T never almost caused nuclear war.
Number two, is a person who frequently edits Wikipedia pages... You probably can't believe that. I do that all the time.
Really?
Are you a professional editor, or are you a wiki vandal?
She just goes on to
correct the Morrissey trivia.
No, I don't. No. I go to, I put mean stuff on people.
Changes.
I don't, yeah. No, I've edited, dumb people, like Chris Angel or whatever. Like, put on Chris Angel's.
Nice popular
show. I was watching Chris Angel's everyone in his family looks like Richie Sambora. Even his mom. So I put on his, Chris's family. Chris was born into a family of traveling Bon Jovi impersonators or something. And then I put the Guy Fieri's brother. He had a brother that was separated at birth with a guy from Smash Mouth.
Oh gosh.
I've been on a Guy Fieri Twitter kick lately, and supposedly his son started following me, and he's liked a few of my things. Like, the other day I tweeted, Guy Fieri has a cooking...
Oh, love the accent.
Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri.
Well, his real name is Guy Fieri or something,
totally.
And he changed it
to be
cooler.
Well, that's because he's super homophobic from what I've heard.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he's such an easy target, and I know that, but it's I have heard that he's actually a dick.
Yeah. I tweeted one time, I'm like, Guy, the Chevy Avalanche is the Guy Fieri of trucks.
Nah. And his son favorited it?
No, his son favorited this one. Guy Fieri has a cooking playlist comprised of Imagine Dragons, Radioactive on repeat.
That's hilarious. I just went on a couple dates with a guy who actually really likes him, who's a lovely dude, lovely lovely guy, but it was funny, we got in I was like, aha, I thought he was joking, and he was like, no, I seriously like him, and I was like, oh, I don't know what to say to that.
I'm not the biggest fan of Guy Fieri, but I do enjoy a lot of the places he highlights. I like a lot of the places he highlights on that show.
Yes.
So I'm like, I would eat there, just not while you're there.
Right. Well, that was the thing, is that he was he brings a lot of money to these, and I'm like, oh, that's cool,
Exactly.
But...
He's the noble douche.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he can park at that douche parking.
Yeah.
Paint that everybody that's reserved for him. Well, I mean, I've heard that he's actually a dick, whatever, yeah. but I also, it's jealousy because he's a professional eater. Absolutely. He's a professional eater.
Yeah.
Like, why can't I host a show where I can go eat?
He got that gig because he won Next Food Network star, a reality show. Yes. So.
I mean, yeah, here's the thing.
He's too real.
Yeah, man of the people.
I make fun of him, but he makes more than I make. By eating a sandwich.
Yeah. So, he just gets to eat sandwiches in a camera and go, isn't this good?
And he, you know, he looks like he owns a time machine. Yeah. And I want a time machine.
You do you, Guy Fieri. Yeah. You do you.
He sucks. But okay.
Oh, that's funny. Here's a fact on here that is going to blow my mind. I'm just reading this for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, but I see the phrase MacBook, and this excites me because I just recently purchased a brand new MacBook.
Oh, congratulations.
Finally, I've been out, as Dan and Aristotle know, I've been without a computer for a while. I've been using my roommates.
He's had to go to the library, a.k.a. the homeless shelter.
Right.
And I finally bought a new MacBook, so this is going to be news to me, but according to the facts here on this page.
There are hidden games on your MacBook.
It's only MacBooks, not... desktop, like not Mac desktop.
Maybe it's I assume that it's on all like modern Macs.
Right.
Basically, if you have access to, you would have access to this. if it's not on your Macintosh, you'll try this. You'll lose 2 seconds out of your life.
Right.
You can move on.
And all of your data.
But for the most part, there are hidden games on your Mac. What you need to do is go to the Terminal app. And where that is, that's located in the Utilities folder, which is within your Applications folder.
And there's a picture of Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Yes.
Shut the fuck up.
It shows the entirety of the movie.
I was like,
the
is
terminal.
That the secret? Because I love it.
But it's weirdly, it's Tom Hanks from Larry Crown, which is but no, so once you're in Terminal, it's careful what you do in there because it's basically a way to access code directly on your MacBook.
Yeah, that's why I was like,
it's for serious hardcore hackers.
Yeah.
No, but you can do this. Go there and type in the phrase Emacs, E-M-A-C-S, all lowercase, Emacs. Then hit enter. After that, you hit X and escape, and it'll prompt you. After that, you can type in Tetris, Pong, or Snake.
Shut
and then you can
up.
Say goodbye to your sweet, sweet
oh,
free
God,
time.
Oh, God, yeah, I'll be playing Tetris at all times.
Hell, yeah. And this is even crazier. And not only can you play these, like, classic Nokia cell phone era games.
Right.
But you can play... God with your psyche by typing in Doctor. And it'll prompt this weird, like, psychotherapy program where it prompts you to type in different... questions, ailments, stuff like that, then it'll try to diagnose you and respond to them.
Yeah. And if you even one more, if you type in Matthew Broderick, you will get in a car accident in Ireland and kill two people.
Yeah,
you
it's
wasted
pretty...
a War Games reference opportunity.
No, they're remaking
it. Why
did
you do that?
Because I knew
that's what I thought was coming.
It's a turn as a fellow comedian.
Okay, all right.
I was leading everybody to think, oh, you get to play War Games.
War Games.
But nope, he killed
Flip
two people.
Listen, when you make a War Games reference, no one wins. And they are remaking that film. They're trying to remake it.
Who
cares? Why are you doing this?
You can't even remake it because it's based on a premise like such an outdated
technology.
Yeah, you can't. Because is it just going to be somebody using the internet?
Welcome
to
the War Games of Warcraft.
Yeah, like how is that?
That's it. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just want. I think they're just going through the catalog and saying, "What else can
like?"
I mean,
you brought it up earlier that Seth Rogen, James Franco movie is going to be like real life, starting a war with
it's
North Korea.
Legitimate war.
Yeah,
games.
We don't even need war games.
They just need.
Up
here's
war.
What needs to happen: is Kim Jong Un just needs to make his own retaliatory film with Dennis Rodman starring as Obama.
Oh my
that
God!
Way,
totally.
He can do whatever he wants.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, I'm kind of like, how do they even know this movie's happening? They don't even get to watch movies there. How did he even find out about?
Someone crossed all the way from South Korea to tell them.
Yeah,
get
on YouTube,
I bet it was a fucking Vice reporter, just like, I'm going to go all the way to North Korea,
start some shit. Totally.
That's so funny.
Totally.
So funny, goddamn Korea.
Well, I hope it's good. I got to say that that first trailer did not have me hopeful.
It kind of didn't me either.
You know what first trailer doesn't have me hopeful is Dumb and Dumber, 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 Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
Which I'm going to see anyway.
Dumb and Dumber Toe?
Yes. I know. I am going to see it anyway just because, obviously, the original is classic status. Yeah. But,
You know what people are clamoring for? A sequel 17 years after the fact.
Right, exactly. They just waited too long. I don't know. I want to be optimistic about it, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
What I do want, though, is an Avengers of Jim Carrey characters from the 90s. Mm. So just, like, awesome. Get the mask. But get the dude from Liar Liar. Get the dude from Me, Myself, and Irene.
Right. Yeah, I still love him, though. I have a real soft spot in my heart for Jim Carrey. And same with Adam Sandler. I mean, Adam Sandler, definitely not the past, like, five movies.
No, I mean, at least Adam Sandler owned up to it on Kimmel. He essentially said they're all just paid vacations.
Yeah. But up until, like, he started making those weird, like, romance, like the Drew Barrymore ones, and then of course the two grown-up movies. But like, he and Jim Carrey were dudes where I was like, I still got it for you guys.
By default, I'm still fans.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was funny is, his Andy Samberg. Well, that's my boy. Actually, I laughed out loud.
Oh yeah, I saw that movie too.
That's my boy. It was a rated R one, so it was warranted that there should have been at least a few laughs.
Right.
But it was pretty funny. But I get that he knows what he's doing. He's Adam Sandler, as big of a fan as I am of him. You know, I'm a fan of Michael Bay. Don't hate me. But they know what they're doing.
Right. Like,
they're making money. They're going to make massive amounts of it by making shitty products. You know what you're going into getting it. You're going to get a 5 cent bubble gum. The 5 cent bubble gum isn't going to taste like a 25 cent bubble gum.
Right.
But you're going to pay 25 cents for it anyways, and 80% of America is going to enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I get what you're saying. Michael Bay, those guys have their place.
Yeah, Transformers 3, excuse me, Transformers 4, highest grossing opening weekend of 2014 so far.
So bad, don't.
I saw it. It's 165 minutes long, 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Are you
so bad.
Joking?
And Mark Wahlberg plays an inventor.
Listen to this. No.
I believe that less than I believe giant robots walking around.
Hold on. He doesn't just play an inventor, because you say inventor and you think, oh, he's going to be wealthy, he's going to make lots of money.
No.
He's a poor, single father in Texas inventor who's so poor he needs to steal electricity from his neighbors, but yet he's got robots and all sorts of inventions of his in his garage that he can't make money off of or do anything with. And his daughter, who also is severely smart, can't get a scholarship to college for some reason.
Because why would we let an inventor's daughter into our esteemed academy?
But also, why does he claim the job title inventor if he's not, like, how does he, like, pay his
He doesn't.
Bill?
He, like, fixes up scrap and sells it and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
but also, bad. Also, that's maybe the most upsetting part
I mean,
of the film.
If we want to spend an hour talking about Transformers
I just
want to
sign
me up, because it's
I just
so
want to touch on this
it.
Because
I didn't even see three. After this, two, I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, this little plot piece is factually just horrific.
Oh.
So the daughter dates an Irish stock car racer for some reason.
Yeah,
they met
I'll
over the
why.
Internet.
What
I'll tell
city
you why.
Is
because
it?
He's sponsored by Red Bull.
Yes, and Red Bull gives you wanks. No, but he is 20. In the movie, the daughter is 17.
Okay.
And for some reason, they just really lean into this, so much so that he carries around a laminated card in his wallet with the Romeo and Juliet law, a statute in Texas regarding statutory rape that says if they had a pre-existing foundational relationship, it is not statutory rape. That way, it's not weird that a 20-year-old is dating a 17-year-old.
The 20-year-old
not just make her 18.
Right. But hold on. In the movie, they talk about him carrying this in his wallet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's
he,
like
he whips it out.
Thing.
He takes out the card and shows it.
He shows it. When she could have been an 18-year-old in high school.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah,
here's the thing.
You're 18 when you're a senior.
The whole point of that was because the whole reason she was 17 is because she is technically a minor, so she has to listen to her dad.
Oh.
That's why. So stupid.
Goddamn,
oh my god, that's so
movie.
Weird and gross.
Just make him 17.
Even if I were the girl, I'd go, that's
movie.
Weird and gross that you have goddamn, that laminated
yeah, exactly.
wallet. Like, that, okay.
Oh my
I'm
god, that's so cool. You love the law. You're really thinking ahead.
April, let me
that's
ask
so
you
cool.
This.
You just constantly bang 17-year-olds. Awesome.
Yeah.
April, you're a creative person.
Oh, sure.
If I had to give you a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that job was to name things. Okay?
Sure.
And the job for this, like, for this, to earn this paycheck.
I'm so terrified I'm going to fail this test.
For this
to
paycheck, April, you needed to come up with a name for the metal that transformed.
Yeah. Oh my god, is this like a...
Hold on. So in order
like an
to get,
Avatar thing where it's called, like, what was it called there when it
hold
was
on,
like
I'll tell you after, I'll tell
something?
You. You need to come up with a name that...
Unobtainium.
Yes,
that's what
it was. Unobtainium. You need to come up with a name for the metal that Transformers are made out of.
The substance of which Transformers are made.
Right. Yeah. Okay, just go ahead and tell me. Is it something like unobtainium?
Come up with a name for it.
If you just spitball.
Spitball. Yes, and it.
I mean, does it have to be fake?
No, come up with anything. If you were writing a movie... that involved Transformers.
Why is there so much pressure?
If you were writing a movie that involved Transformers, what would you name the metal that they were made out of?
I don't know. Something robot sounding? I don't know.
Fair enough.
Well, good.
Something
hustle.
That sounds hard to get,
yeah,
I guess.
Well, this sounds pretty hard to
but
get.
But not on Obtanium. Like, you can't actually call it.
Yeah, you can obtain this one.
Ready for this?
Transformium.
Shut your mouth! Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. That's what I was saying. That's just, like, the Avatar thing.
They're legitimately...
Transformium is supposed to be on, like, the periodic table of elements. Like, that's supposed to be a thing.
So, oh, this is rarest Transformium.
It's what they're made with. Yeah. As you know in the trailer.
Wow.
Here's the thing. This is... All right. That, one more thing. And then
so
we
how does
stop.
He get... Do you get the Transformium from Planet Transformer?
No, they...
They're from Cybertron.
Oh, right. I don't know. I gotta say, all the shit I was into growing up, like, I was kind of not super into Transformers.
You get it.
It's all good.
You get it because... Billions of years ago, they dropped a bunch off on Earth. Apparently.
Yeah, they basically just terraformed Earth into... that's how the dinosaurs died. They returned to the Transformia.
So one more thing about Transformers 4, then we'll get off this, because I could literally make fun of this for longer than the movie was.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Stanley Tucci, he's a scientist, he's in it. And, hold on. You know where this is going.
Okay.
He's inventing his own Transformers. He figured out how to take this Transformium and make their own Transformers, right?
Okay.
For some reason, there's a glitch in the thing, right? And it's not working properly. Stanley Tucci gets angry and is like, I want to know why they're not working, okay? And while this is happening, he's banging on the chalkboard behind him. And he's like, I want to know why this isn't working. And he's banging, and he shouts, math and numbers.
Algorithms.
No. He shouts the words math.
He shouts math. He shouts algorithms. Says, why can't we make the things we want the way we want to make them?
Math. Algorithms.
Wow.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Stage direction.
Yeah, what?
Holy shit.
Exit so stage left.
Stanley Tucci's not... This is his first time at the rodeo.
No.
He knows what he's doing.
I will say, though, he was one of the better characters in the film.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. He was one of the best.
He was kind of a send-up of, like, a Steve Jobs type, like, self-obsessed tech mogul.
His product placement wasn't as obvious as Mark Wahlberg cracking up open a Bud Light on a car door.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Oh, my God. Math. Numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, God damn. It's so funny.
It's...
I will not be seeing it.
Here we go. Fucking completely off topic. Here's something that's really wild here. Maryland is a state in the United States.
I would say so.
I agree with that statement.
And states in the United States have official things like official flowers, official
birds.
Songs,
Massachusetts
official,
is the chickadee.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Maryland has an official state sport, and that is none other than jousting.
Is this like medieval jousting or like men's room jousting?
No, it's like if you read about it on Wikipedia, it's a little more subdued, like sportier jousting. You don't knock people off horses or anything like that, but it's still a thing. Yeah.
Sportier jousting.
And in 1962, jousting was named the official sport of the state of Maryland. This was the first official sport of any U.S. state, obviously. So let's pick
that
jousting.
Seems late. 1962 seems like a late year for the first official sport.
Yeah.
And also, if it's jousting, it feels like it should have been 18.
Exactly. Yeah, it should have been like, should have been before.
Whatever,
yeah,
whenever medieval time. What am I talking about? Like
country.
1500s.
Yes. Before we were a country.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was
That's absurd. Interesting.
Jousting.
Well, what does that mean,
I thought they
would have
gone with like race riots.
Yeah. That's our official sport.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I don't... Does anyone do jousting?
Oh, yeah. My buddy was varsity jousting at Silver Spring High. Hates those fuckers from Bethesda Tech.
Yeah.
They have tournaments every year about it. Every few years.
Yeah, the Renaissance Pleasure Fair rolls through.
They have a jousting stadium?
Yeah. Jousting.
Weird.
That's absurd.
Do they have to dress like knights and everything?
I would hope so.
Yeah, and they,
it's armor emblazoned with the sigil of House Red
Bull. They're dressed up like Ravens, like the Baltimore Ravens, and armor
and characters from The
they're
Wire.
In purple, yeah, they're in,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, Omar so. Joustin. Well, here's something that is illegal: beach theft. You go to the beach.
Isn't just theft? You can just say theft.
I mean, that's what I would think. Theft is illegal.
Or is it stealing
to
beaches?
To get more specific, that's exactly what it is. Beach theft is an unauthorized and illegal removal of large quantities of sand from a beach leading to the full or partial disappearance of that beach. It occurs in a large number of countries around the world, and it was discovered in Jamaica in July 2008. The beach at Coral Springs in Jamaica's northern parish of Trelawney was 400 meters of white sand. The bulk of the sand in this 0.5-hectare beach, of which approximately 500 truckloads was found missing in July 2008.
Okay.
In this form, part of a resort complex, but the theft of its most important feature resulted in developers putting their plans on hold, which had a distinct and lasting impact on the local economy. Illegal sand mining is evidently a problem in Jamaica, which is a ridiculous sentence. It's the local tradition of people building their own homes that has caused a huge demand for construction
material. Do they build their homes out of, like, sand bricks?
Yeah, they live in sand castles.
Literally.
Yes.
That's crazy. But yeah. It also says, I love this, it says... It was found missing, which almost makes me think, like, I know that really means it was missing.
Yeah.
Like they, but found missing makes it sound like, you know, they went down the street and they're like, we found this sand. Yeah. Here's the sand. When it's like, how do you know where I got this? It's
exactly.
Sand. Wait, it looks like all the rest of the sand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe it's like the special, like, white sand beach.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Compared to,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, just a crummy normal sand.
Right.
Like a fine grain compared to a coarse grain.
Yes. So oh my god, yeah.
My god, there's up to 500 truckloads missing from this beach.
Plus, it's like, that's a thing you can't really do quietly.
Yeah.
That's not like dancing through the lasers at an art heist kind of movement.
Exactly.
Like, you're backing a Brinks trunk up to get the sand in it. Like, people are going to notice that.
Here's what happened. A reggaeton concert was going very late into the evening.
Sure.
And the boom pap the of the bass was so loud, no one could hear those trucks backing up.
We need to get... Jason Statham and Mark Wahlberg to star in a movie
sand
called
The Sandsporter.
The Sandsporter.
Totally.
Bahama Job.
Sand Heist.
Jamaican Job.
Too bad I would see that movie, but I would see anything with Statham.
Yeah.
I will see anything with Statham.
I always just think of that Patton Oswalt column from several years ago.
Oh my
Gatham
God.
For Statham.
Yes, that is one of my favorite things he's ever written.
Just,
it's so true.
It argues that every movie would be better if Jason Statham was
that
in it.
True.
And I dare you to prove me wrong.
I agree. I feel that with The Rock as well.
I love me some Rock.
I want to hang out with that guy so bad.
I
want to
smell what
life.
He's cooking.
But I swear to God, like, I love all his movies. I think he's great,
man.
But he seems like a fantastic human being.
Yeah, he just seems
like so much fun to hang out with.
Seems like a pleasant dude.
Yes.
Dwayne, you have to when your name's Dwayne.
Yeah. Yes, Dwayne.
Yeah, look at Lil
Johnson.
Wayne.
Yes. I would totally hang out with The Rock all day long.
Dwayne Johnson, not only does he seem like he's fun, he just seems like a cool dude.
Cool dude. Yeah. Cool, nice dude.
Real chill bro.
Yeah.
Cool, all these guys.
Fist pumps
like,
all day.
I feel like every Samoan I know of is a nice dude. I don't know
name
of many.
Name another Samoan.
That cookie the Girl Scout sell.
Yeah, those are pretty chill.
Yeah.
I take it back.
It's pretty sick.
I mean, I know one, but... The Rock, he's the one.
I know.
According
I know
to my
the Rock.
According to my scientific test, it works.
Yeah,
it's 100% chill rain.
If I was Samoan, I would be really pleased if he was my representative.
Yeah.
So we'll just let him be.
Yeah, he's the
one.
I think
Samoan
he's the ambassador.
We all know. Yes, he should be. If he
yeah,
isn't.
That's funny. Well, we were talking about jousting, which is a sport. Then
sure.
We were talking about beach stealing, which happens around the world.
Go
then
on.
We were talking about The Rock, who is Samoan, who is. From Samoa.
I see how these all tie together.
He was a professional athlete at one point World Wrestling Federation.
Speaking of world, the World Cup is happening right now.
Yay!
Yeah, oh my god, that game yesterday. I can't believe it. What a heartbreaker. Or a victory.
Yes.
April, are you? Have you been paying attention? Are you a fan? Or are you
not at all.
You're a bandwagoner?
I've been watching pretty religiously.
Yeah, I know. Dan has. He's been tweeting about it nonstop.
I haven't been watching it at all.
Dan was up this morning. I woke up and I checked my Twitter feed and it's like, just Dan. Oh, this game, like he must, I feel like you got up at 9 to go day drinking and watch the game.
Are you a soccer dude in general? Or
yeah,
just...
I'll watch Premier League. I'll keep up with the European leagues.
Right.
I used to go to MLS games.
Okay,
because,
wow.
Yeah, it was like 19
sure.
bucks for a ticket. And
yeah.
I love live sports.
I'm assuming that means Major League Soccer.
Yeah. Means so. Must love soccer.
Yeah.
The John Cusack sequel to Must Love Dogs.
It's been great. I did not wake up today to go day drinking because I went to a baseball game yesterday and did some day drinking then. But no, I just woke up, I walked my dog, and then just stayed awake and watched the game because Netherlands versus Mexico was so good. It was so good. That penalty was bullshit. I wanted Netherlands to win, but not like this.
How about that? Was it Croatia? No.
Costa Rica versus Greece.
Greece and Costa Rica. That was a close game. I was watching that, and that it was tied. Then they went into. I still don't understand the rules of FIFA
basically,
or anything like that. But now
two halves of extra time.
The first you can tie. And then the second round, you can't tie.
The first round, there's a first round stage where it's all the teams compete in groups of four.
Correct.
The top two teams at the end of that move on to the next round, called the knockout stage, the group of 16.
Correct. Okay.
So
in the group first round, you can draw. Tie.
So a victory is 3 points, a draw is 1 point, a loss is 0 points.
In the second round.
And if you are tied with a team during that stage, it goes to goal differential, which means how many goals have you scored overall. If you scored more goals or if you let up goals.
Numbers.
That's
algorithms. What,
listen, there's nerds and statisticians to take care of that for you. You just have to look at a chart.
But in the second half,
the round of 16,
you can't tie. So
no,
it
goes into overtime. Hey, there's two halves of overtime. If you don't tie it, if you don't score by then, it goes to a penalty shootout. So...
yeah,
there's been some very exciting games that have gone to penalty shootout.
What I was getting at is the United States tends to be it's called the World Cup, where most countries are fanatics about soccer because they love soccer.
Oh, I did. I lived in England for a few years after high school, and it was in Manchester, and the family I lived with were obsessed with Manchester United.
Man U.
And when Man United
the Yankees
games were
of soccer.
On, well, it was their family team, and like weren't allowed to talk in the house. I've been to Old Trafford. I mean, I went to a Man U game with them, and like, so when I lived there, I experienced it. I wasn't like super into it, but they were just like, no fucking talking when this game's on, and
That's completely different than the United States because nobody gives a fuck about soccer until the World Cup is happening.
Right.
And here are some facts that prove that. Not only is Twitter blowing up with just people tweeting about the World Cup that really don't care about soccer.
Right.
But in 1994, the 1994 World Cup was the highest attended in World Cup history with average attendance of nearly 69,000. Now, I'll give you one guess where the World Cup was held in 1994.
1994? I want to say Atlanta.
It was held in the United States, yes.
Okay. Oh,
it was held in nine different stadiums. They played it. They played the World Cup in 1994 was in the United States, and that's the most attended of any World Cup.
Right.
Just goes to show you how much of bandwagon fans the United States are.
Or how much we love waking up in the morning to drink all day in the sun and cheer for our country.
The total attendance of nearly 3.6 million for the final tournament remains the highest in World Cup history, despite the expansion of the competition from 24 to 32 teams. 1994 was also the year Greece, Nigeria, and Saudi Arabia qualified for the World Cup finals for the first time. Russia competing independently for the first time after the dissolution of the Soviet Union, and the first time West Germany was united with East Germany to compete as Germany since the 1938 World Cup. Now, in 1994, the World Cup was held in nine different stadiums in the United States.
Mm.
It was held at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, the Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan, which was also the first indoor stadium used in the World Cup.
Oh.
It was held in the Stanford Stadium in Stanford, California, Giants Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Florida, Soldier Field, Chicago, Illinois, the Cotton Bowl, Dallas, Texas, Foxborough Stadium in Foxborough, Mass.
Now known as Gillette.
And the Robbie F. Kennedy Memorial Stadium in Washington, D.C.
I bet it was like blowing the minds of the players from these other countries just how vast our country. Like, they were like, what? We got to drive how long to get to this?
Oh,
they're like, our entire country isn't even that big.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
We live in your rogue's island.
Because like my friends from England, when they would come visit me, and I'd be like, let's go on a road trip to whatever. They're like, it literally, I'd go, oh, I'm from Atlanta. So I'd be like, let's drive to Graceland. That's like 8 hours away in Memphis. They're like, You could drive the whole length of my country in less than 8 hours. Like,
absolutely.
That's insane.
It's like a trip to Vegas and you've been through three countries.
Yeah, totally. But also, I would argue, I'm not super into sports in general, but I do think it's funny when Americans get I've noticed people getting snobby about soccer and being like, it's not as good as football or baseball. Guess what? It's like 5 million times harder than those.
Yeah.
Guess how many fat soccer players there are? Zero. Guess how many fat like baseball players, football players are? A million.
A lot.
Like soccer, you're literally running for
90 minutes.
It's like the most cardio ever of all time.
Yeah, you're just running back and forth.
Using your head to actually score goals.
It's super hard. So it's like, as much as I'm super not into any sports, I do think it's funny when like armchair American people being like, oh, what the fuck, this sport, it sucks. Well, it's not
American.
They
unironically
it's like
sport
way
mullets.
Harder.
Like I made the joke the other day where it's like, I can never play in the World Cup because my haircut is too normal. Some of these people are like, it's like they're from the future.
If
like
you don't look like
it's like they're from like that. What that Bruce Willis movie, Fifth Element, where it's like just the weird haircuts and shit.
Yeah. No, they do look super crazy, but I mean, I would argue that they're like the most talented. Fit athletes.
Did you just give him a silent S at the end of Bruce Willis's
Bruce
name?
Willie, yeah.
Bruce Willis.
B. Willis.
Key and Peele. B. Willis. You ever see that in the valet sketches?
Yes. Yeah.
Liam Neeson.
Are you kidding? So those are like my favorite.
The best.
Oh my God. I watched the first Batman.
Oh, the Batman
like
was so good.
Over and over and over and over.
That's so good.
How am I mess with the Batman?
Oh, speaking of sports.
Hello, Batman. Get over here. Yeah, he's it's like, so goddamn funny.
We're going to give Batman a cold? Bat lozenge. Boom.
Riddle me this, riddle me that. Yeah. Who's afraid of the Batmans?
It was pretty great when they actually got Liam Neeson to come on the show.
Oh, man, that was so funny. Yeah.
But speaking of sports,
absolutely.
Here's a weird fact.
Holy shit, this blew my mind.
The Seattle Mariners, a baseball team in
Seattle,
are owned by Nintendo of America.
What?
Yes. Yeah.
That must be where Ken Griffey Jr. baseball came from back in the day on the NES.
There's only two Major League Baseball teams that are owned by a corporation.
Yeah.
The one is the Seattle Mariners by Nintendo of America. I don't know where the second one is, but if you could look that up, that'd be awesome. There's only two. All the other teams are owned by individuals, but
just owned by dudes.
But see, that's another
Seattle
thing about
Mariners.
That blows my mind that like a person can own a sports team for some reason.
Yeah,
like that. Like just me being like,
unless they're racist.
I own the Dodgers. Like I just own them. Like what? How is that? They're people though.
Yeah.
Like it's such a weird idea.
Yeah, they own the club, right? It's all clubs.
Yeah, obviously, but it's like still just the weird phrasing of like. I mean, most things that people own are inanimate. I own a business. Yeah. Okay, well that's an inanimate thing in a building, like a business, the idea of it. But like, I own this team of
humans.
It's
essentially owning a business and you're employing players to fill the positions.
True. Yeah. That's true.
Much like strip clubs employ, they pay strippers to get people in the seats. Baseball athletes
You're paying for
the
pole.
Seats. Yeah, you're paying.
Still, I don't know. It's just such a weird idea to me. But I guess also it could have been made weirder by the, you know, the Donald Sterling thing where it's like that dude taking the word own super seriously and grossly.
Yeah.
That was weird. Any luck?
There are four teams.
Oh, four.
Okay. Four teams. Corrections department.
The Atlanta Braves by Liberty.
Okay.
Weird.
Chicago Cubs by Tribune.
Media. Yeah, it's like the Tribune Media Company.
Like a newspaper media company.
Seattle Mariners by Nintendo. And Toronto Blue Jays by Rogers Community.
Oh,
okay. Interesting.
So far,
I didn't know that about my hometown team.
Yeah.
I thought it was Ted Turner.
Who's coming? Yeah. Are you guys next on the warpath for getting your patents revoked or your copyright revoked after what happened to the Washington Redskins?
That has been going on since I was in like middle school.
Yeah.
When we started winning and stopped sucking when I was in
middle school.
Thanks, Greg Maddux. Yeah. I mean, it was really, that was the time when everybody all of a sudden cared about the Braves again. And then.
Yeah.
There was already, like, at that time, people being like, we got to change the name. So it's like, I don't know how that hasn't happened yet. Yeah.
Well.
Unless that's, like, less racist somehow than Redskins?
I think.
Well, I'll tell you what's
going on. Because maybe they're like, we're saying brave. Like, you guys are brave.
Well,
but that's not the context.
I know, exactly.
And they don't have the Indian mascot, which here's the thing, too, is the.
Well, they do. It's like a tomahawk.
They do. It's a
tomahawk.
It's the chief.
Yeah, some of them are Chiefs. No, some of them is the guy. Like, I remember some uniforms, it is just like the Tomahawk and it says Braves, but then I feel like there were, or maybe I'm just thinking of like t-shirts they sold at the time. It did have a guy's face on them.
The Cleveland Indians mascot and logo is way more offensive than the.
It's like a cartoon. Actually, like cartoon.
Real, like satirical. Like,
oh, and if you go to the stadium, there's signs that say, "We eat every part of the Buffalo chicken."
Wow. Whereas you do the Washington Redskins, and it's like a really nice mural of a, you know, like a chief head, and he's not like red, he's like, you know, like tan or whatever, versus the Chief Wahoo, who's like a just a
who is it's like old timey like newspaper caricature, like we have to push the red menace back.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
Even my high school team, it was the Wakefield Warriors, and it was a nice illustration of a Native American chieftain of sorts with the headdress and everything, and there was some outcry over that.
Really?
Yeah. But then one time the gymnastics team ordered tracksuits and they misprinted it, so it said the Wakefield Whamors. So why not? WAMORS. They thought the two R's were an M.
Wow.
So they just rolled with it.
That's absurd and awesome.
They didn't even like send them.
No, this is a company that makes. This is a company that makes. They made a lot of t-shirts and stuff for my hometown sports team.
Wait, where is this? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up just outside of Boston, a town called Wakefield.
Okay.
awesome.
So this wasn't it wasn't a particularly hard word to spell. It was one they were familiar with printing on clothing.
If we're going to talk about mass producing incorrectly objects, I was on Reddit yesterday, and Target had these like bracelet charms mass produced of a hot air balloon.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the top part of the hot air balloon was upside down. On the bracelet. So if you think about
it, was the basket and then the balloon was upside down?
Yes.
Yeah.
The balloon was upside down. So it looked like if you think of a hot air balloon and the ball is on the top,
yeah,
with the triangle on the bottom connected to the basket.
Yeah.
You have the basket connected to the ball.
The ball part of it.
With the triangle portion, smaller portion of the hot air balloon connected to the actual bracelet.
Right. What? And they made a bunch of
they made them
when they were in the stores.
Yeah, they were in the stores.
Oh my God! So I assume those made it to like the 99 cent.
Have to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, they're so weird. He'll be right next to copies of The Blind Side on DVD,
yes,
right by the
totally,
checkout.
Yes.
You'll
be able to buy impulse buy.
Yeah.
Totally.
I do need 6 copies.
Yes.
What if I run into 5 friends who haven't seen it?
Oh man, that's amazing.
I've never seen that movie.
It won an Oscar.
So there you go. You must see it.
Yeah.
So, speaking of international waters.
Speaking of The Blind Side. Speaking of international
waters. Let's talk about international waters.
Yeah, we're talking about
the World Cup.
This is a world...
Nations competing.
This podcast is very informative for world and sports. I feel like this is like a wide world of sports podcast.
Exactly. Well, in cricket, there's a term called sticky wicket, and it's not as gross as it sounds. Mm-hmm. Look it up.
Yeah.
That's another thing I had to watch when I lived in England.
Cricket?
Oh, my God. And those last like 3 days,
yeah,
the cricket match.
Terrible. That's why Million Dollar Arm didn't do well. It's too long of a sport for people to give a shit about.
Yeah.
Anytime I hear about the game cricket, I think of the quote from Ninja Turtles when Raphael's like, cricket? You got to know what a crocket is to get cricket. It's so stupid, but Raphael was playing Casey Jones right when him and Casey Jones had the fight for the first
right,
time.
Right, right. Yeah, I do like the way the cricket dudes dress. I like the whole
preppy
sweater.
Yeah, they're pretty dapper.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm not trying to watch anything that lasts 3 days like that.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
Hell no.
Cool. So anyways, Daniel, you were going to tell us
about international waters. Yeah, so from the 18th century until the mid-20th century, the territorial waters of the British Empire, the U.S., France, and many other countries across the world were extended 3 nautical miles, which is 5.6 kilometers, about 3.4 miles, I believe I calculated, around their country. And this was based on the length of a cannon shot. So that was the portion of an ocean that a sovereign state could feasibly defend from its shore. So about 3.4 miles out, 5.6 kilometers, 3 nautical miles out from your shore, that was considered international waters where anything goes. Gambling. Girls, gambling with girls,
free murder,
and other things.
That's so. Also, I'm a child because still the concept, like the concept that somebody can own part of the ocean, is hilarious to me. How is that possible?
Yeah,
I mean, I guess you can enforce it via
paper.
Cannon.
Yeah,
but
yeah, the cannon is how you can enforce that.
So, yeah.
Get off my ocean.
And then the idea of past that point, anything goes. Like, oh, I'm going to murder this person, but I'm going to drive them out 3.5 miles from the shore.
So weird.
So it's legal then for me to murder them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, they've even been gentrifying the ocean. They've extended that length because of things like nuclear weapons testing and fishery disputes. So some nations have arbitrarily extended their maritime claims to as much as 50 or even 200 nautical miles. However, since the late 20th century, the quote 12-mile limit has become almost universally accepted. So
that's hilarious.
The UK extended its territorial waters from 3 to 12 nautical miles in 87, and since then 12 nautical miles is roughly what you can expect in terms of your average length to go until you're in international waters.
And then
I just think about that episode of The Simpsons, monkey knife fights.
Yes.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Yeah.
Dude, just the idea of international war, like, you can just do whatever you want because you're not in any country's jurisdiction.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Hell yeah.
It's so weird.
It's kind of like, I feel like they do have some sort of law because, like, even in, there's, like, national space law that the world has agreed upon. Like, you can't
own
space property.
Yeah. Oh, you can't.
That's why, U.S. doesn't own the moon.
What
or
about going to that website where you can buy a tract of land on the moon and get a sweet certificate that says
Does this make my birthday present I bought for my friend owning a star null and void? Yeah. She got to name it after her and everything.
You got to wait until the
JK, I never
the
bought
moon
anybody
reconstruction.
That gift. That's a lame gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. But it's like, even think of how cartoonish that is. That, like, nations had to come together and agree, like, you guys, we can't buy any of space.
Listen, all want it.
Well, yes.
We all want this moon.
Yes.
That's what's kind of absurd, because 200
Because who do you pay? Who do you buy the moon from?
The
who
moon.
You...
Brought to you by Subway. Well, eat fresh.
Yeah. Like, well, who are you giving real estate money to?
I guess it goes back to enforcement with cannon. You know, back in the day...
Yeah.
Like,
how far can your orbital laser strike?
You know, because back in the day, like, you just... If you came across a land, you just plant your flag in it and be like, yeah. I claim this land for Spain.
Shotgun moon.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, I guess, I mean, at some point they realize, hey, wait a minute, we're running out of real estate. Like, what would prevent, you know, because even the United States technically landed on the moon, we easily could have said we claim this... moon for the United States.
Oh, we could have dipped the shit out of that.
Then how do we defend the moon? You know, like, Russia could send another thing up there and plant their thing. Like,
yeah,
no, they could. Yeah. How do you, at what point?
Yeah, they could take over moon
arm
Crimea.
Arm wrestle
moon
for the
crane.
Moon. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. Like, at some point, it was okay to just stake claim for land.
Right.
At some point, yeah.
But you had armies backing you up.
Yeah, and there's
exactly.
No
exactly. You'd have army or you'd have a piece of paper or some sort of monetary
manifest
claim.
Destiny.
Hell yeah.
What?
It's like there's no other kind of destiny.
Yeah.
April.
Yes.
You mentioned you lived in England.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the Big Ben?
Yes, of course.
Have you ever been to the Big Ben? How was it? Do you have any cool stories about that?
I like
you
how
just
you
call it Big Ben.
Yeah, I was about to say the.
I've been to a Big Ben.
Yeah, not the Big Ben, but one of several.
But he's a bartender
Bens.
In West Hollywood.
Listen, if
it
the
was
edge,
great.
If the edge gets a the, Big Ben gets a the.
It was, you know, it's just like it looks on TV.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
It's a big ass clock.
It's a big ass clock.
If I told you the there's a bell on the Big Ben, right? Have you heard the bell, right? The bell rings.
Sure, because I think that they do, yeah, because like every...
It does it all.
Or whatever, Parliament, like, yeah, they do the chimes every 15 minutes.
The bell in the Big Ben was made in the same place as the Liberty Bell.
No way.
Yeah.
The Whitechapel Bell Foundry.
Yes.
Which is a bell foundry
in
Whitechapel, which is in London's borough of Tower Hamlets.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great Hamlet.
How are they still open for business? I would think that the demand for bells has gone down significantly.
Oh, my God. People won't shut up about these bells.
Listen, they got a black market on bells.
Yeah. It's the oldest.
It's 2014. We still need giant bells.
It's the single oldest manufacturing company in Great Britain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of any kind.
Yeah.
That is one thing when I was there, I grew up in Atlanta, which living, this. I'm sorry,
the
I'm
London
derailing
of the U.S.
this.
Yeah, no, derail away.
Well, because when I moved here, and I love L.A., it's not a slight on L.A., but it's just funny when you're here, they go, it'll be like, oh, that building is so old. It was built in the 1920s. And I'm like, fuck off. Like, shit in Atlanta was built in like the 1700s.
Exactly.
Like, Georgia's one of the original 13 colonies, obviously, so I'm like, yeah. But then I went to England, and my friends, I'd be like, oh, yeah, there's an old Civil War thing by my parents' house, and they're like, fuck, this was built in the 1400s or like the 1200s.
So
like, you don't know old.
Even more so.
Systems.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I was in Japan a couple months ago, and you're walking around there. You're like, oh, brand new skyscraper next to a 2,000-year-old temple.
Yes.
Our country is a young piece of shit.
Our country is a baby. Exactly. Yes.
It is. Especially in Los Angeles.
That's what I'm saying. They're making bells before our country's even a glint in our founding father's eyes.
We were.
Yeah. the Whitechapel Bell Foundry dates back to 1570. They opened in 1570. And yeah, exactly.
Do work.
Our country, like, I read about so many times, like, in L.A., they just destroyed, like, a historical building on La Brea or whatever, like a theater or something.
Yeah,
and,
the old Arby's.
They're constantly, like, there's no, they destroy old, you know, historical buildings and build up, you know, new ones. That's the one thing I kind of give Scientology a round of applause for.
I hope it's the only thing.
They hold, about Tom Cruise.
Great set of superpowers.
Yeah,
oh, that's true.
I give him a round of applause for Tom Cruise because I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan. But anyways, I digress. Scientology owns the most amount of historical buildings in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And they keep them historical.
Right.
So I give them that credit. You know,
if anybody's eating bowls of money for breakfast, it's Scientology.
Yeah.
I mean, they have nothing but money.
That's what gives them strength.
Yeah.
We're pro-Scientologists, so don't hate us.
Co-sign on that
listen,
at all.
Hold on. Don't retract
but
it.
But also don't murder
listen.
Me.
That's what I'm getting at. I'm getting at. We have no
we
ill.
We just don't subscribe to your newsletter.
You know, we have no poor ilk to Scientologists, so please don't send gophers or anything like that after us.
Listen, yes. If you're going to send someone, send Tom Cruise.
I hear Leia Raymond talking
out.
Mad shit about you guys, so go after her some more.
Yeah, get mad at her.
The Whitechapel.
Back to this bell foundry. Like you were saying, can't get enough bells.
In 1752, the foundry cast the Liberty Bell, which was commissioned to celebrate the 50th anniversary of William Penn's 1701 Charter of Privileges in Pennsylvania's original Constitution.
Sick charter.
The Liberty Bell cracked in 1846 when it was first rung to mark the birthday of George Washington. Now, here's some irony.
I would say 1846, like, if that happened in 1846, like, I would say that is an omen. Like, that to me, I feel like you could still be superstitious at that point.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, no, the ghost of Washington, he's coming to kill us.
Well, no, I also say that's when you, what's the return policy at the Whitechapel Bell Foundry?
Yeah, I mean, like 100
Because I'd be like, yo, this motherfucker cracked as soon as we rang it.
Well, but
this is supposed to be your business, is bells.
Well, clearly their business is not doing as well as they thought, because Big Ben, which tolls the hour at the Palace of Westminster, was cast in 1858 and rung for the first time on May 31st, 1859, and it also cracked because too heavy of a hammer was initially used.
Mm-mm.
And
how is this bell foundry still in business?
Yeah, but here's the deal.
They only produce shoddy.
Here's the thing, though.
Or do they make one-of-a-kind snowflake memories?
Yeah.
You mentioned what's return policy. Here's the thing. The Liberty Bell was made in 1752, and it didn't crack until 1846. That's a good 90-year...
Yeah, but it says the first time they tried to ring it, though. The first ring is when it cracked.
Yeah, when it was first rung. Very true.
I mean, some bells were made to be displayed.
They need to be specific, like... We made this bell, yes, but it's
don't
for display
ring it.
Only.
Yeah.
It's like when I was growing up in my grandmother's house, she would have this cabinet full of these cool figures, but they weren't figures to be played with. They were collectibles.
Totally. Yeah. Me too. My mom, there are towels in my house you can't use. Those are for looks.
Exactly.
Dry
or like
hands on
it's
these.
The wax fruit of bells.
Yes, exactly.
They should have stated that.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I have towels in my bathroom that I don't want my roommates using. I have a towel rack that it broke in my bathroom, and none of my roommates decided to fix it for like 2 months. And we have towels hanging on the door as well.
Yeah.
So I finally take initiative. I went out and I fixed the rack, and I bought a new shower mat and another mat by the toilet. They match. And I fixed the towel rack, and I bought three different towels to match the corresponding mats, and I hang them up, and it looks really, really nice and all that. And I'm like, cool. Nobody's bothered using it for a month or so. It's going to look nice now.
Yeah.
Now I'll go into the bathroom, and the towels will be like all like strung and strolled, and it's like, God damn it. What did you do for a month? Well, it wasn't, you know.
Right.
I want it to look nice. You know,
these are my private towels.
So this was just an excuse for you to brag about your domestic skills.
Yeah.
Well, I was just
ladies, if you're listening,
exactly,
if you want to
ladies,
spruce up
he can
your bathroom,
a towel rack. We
know,
get
now,
it.
Here's
we
the
get
thing.
It.
Here's the thing. I use the same towel rack. I just fasten it together with duct tape. But it's you can't. Here's the thing. It's hidden inside. It's very well. It's hidden by the towels.
Yeah, and these towels.
Don't offend it. It sounds great. It sounds great. Own it.
I'm owning it.
What's the thread count on them there, towels?
Ross dressed for less towels.
Yeah.
Long, 12.
Long staple Egyptian cotton. Yeah. All two threads of it.
So funny. So funny stuff. Yeah.
Well.
All right.
We like to have, every now and then we'll have a food fact on here.
Food fact.
Food fact.
What's that?
April, do you enjoy eating Philadelphia cream cheese?
I do.
Ooh.
I find it to be delicious. Yes.
Oh, you do. See, I dislike it.
You don't like cream cheese?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, it's a. I don't.
You don't like it on bagels? Nothing.
No. The only thing I'm like on. The only thing I eat on bagels are butter, peanut butter, or jelly.
Sure. So you're 5.
Yeah.
5 years old.
Listen,
and
a good peanut butter bagel is not to be trifled with. But come on, bro, cream cheese.
Come on, bro.
That's all I'm saying.
Do you even lift a spoon with cream cheese in it?
Cream cheese.
Carbo
is so,
load that shit up.
So gross, though. Anyways,
just pretend it's like cheese or cream.
I like both, but I don't. I love
the phrasing on this little. So our notes here read early prototypes of cream cheese.
Well, to the fact at hand, real quick, Philadelphia cream cheese actually originated in New York.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Scandal.
Aren't Philly and New York rivals? Rival cities, sort of?
Yeah, but like less in a less meaningful way, because New York's like, come on.
Right. That is so perfectly put.
New York's like that, like when they're like the bully who's fighting a smaller child, and they just put out their hand.
Yeah, and it's like still swinging. The kid's swinging. And just whiffing.
Yeah. So here, first bullet point of Philadelphia cream cheese originated in New York. As Dan mentioned, early prototypes.
That's so great.
I have a prototype for some sort of cream-based cheese product. Yes.
Which also, wouldn't they be like, okay, aren't all cheeses creamy right now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It contains part aluminium, part transformium.
Transformium.
Yeah, because in 1583, what kind of solid-state cheeses did they have?
Yeah.
Early prototypes of cream cheese were referenced in England as early as 1583.
Dang.
And in France as early as 1651. Lay
dang.
Recipes are recorded soon after 1754.
Soon in quotes.
Particularly from Lincolnshire and the southwest of England.
Yeah.
Now, this is where it gets...
We fast forward to the year 1873. One man, William A. Lawrence, a Chester, New York dairyman, was the first to mass-produce cream cheese.
Keep going.
In 1873, he purchased a Neufchâtel factory, and shortly thereafter, by adding cream to the process, was able to create a richer cheese that he called cream cheese.
Sure.
Now...
I guess maybe... Actually, yeah, I feel like old cheeses... are like hard, stinky cheeses.
Yeah.
I feel like a cheese you buy in the 1500s is going to smell like a foot and be like real hard with a real hard rind.
Like Munster cheese.
Yeah, but harder than that even. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking of like Limburger or something.
Limburger
so maybe this guy did revolutionize the game.
Just sounds bad.
And Neufchâtel, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. It's a soft, kind of crumbly, mold ripened cheese made in France, specifically in Normandy.
Okay. Yeah.
So this dude put cream
kind
in
of
it.
Cheese.
And was like,
he
boom.
Put cream in it to make a thicker, sexier, newer, richer cheese. So then 1877 comes around. He creates the first brand for cream cheese, the silhouette of a cow, followed by the words Neufchâtel and cream
cheese. The silhouette of a cow.
The silhouette of a cow. By, it's utterly irresistible.
The silhouette of a cow. That sounds like it's like a advertisement for like some cologne or some perfume. The silhouette of a cow.
By Philadelphia.
Totally.
In 1879, in order to create a larger factory, Lawrence partnered with a Chester merchant, Samuel S. Durland. And then in 1880, Elva L. Reynolds, a New York cheese distributor, began to sell the cheese of Lawrence and Durand and created a brand named for it, Philadelphia Cream Cheese. Reynolds chose the name based on the reputation Philadelphia had for such cheese.
Okay, now why did they have that rep for that cheese? They made this cheese in New York. How did Philly have a rep for it?
Ben Franklin, founding father, inventor, was known to be a, what's the word, freak nasty bitch. No, I have no idea where they got a reputation
Isn't
for cream
funny?
Cheese.
We'll name this after a city
Listen,
outside of the city we just invented it.
Exactly.
In. How
we
is
invented
that
it here. But we got to cash in on this reputation for slick, creamy cheeses.
Yeah, that makes no sense. I mean, I'm glad it exists because I find it to be delicious.
Yeah.
But it is pretty funny.
I'm glad that the cream cheese reputation spread to New York. Keep that shit on locks.
Hey-o.
What is this, at midnight puns?
Hey-o.
I love it.
Love it. That's interesting.
Well.
Cream cheese.
That's,
Cream cheese.
That was pretty fun. I think... that we are unfortunately approaching our time limit. Yeah. Time flies when you're talking about cream cheese.
Yeah, it does.
Time flies.
Yeah. So, April, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
We
learned about sports. We learned about spreads.
Yes.
And
spreads,
everything in between.
Sports.
Life.
Yeah. International waters. Yeah.
Yes.
These are all axioms and just tools
thing,
to live your life.
Yes.
The most important thing we learned was Dolph Lundgren is 54.
Exactly.
Without question. That's the most important thing I learned today.
Dolph Lundgren.
All of today.
You say 56, right?
56, I believe.
Oh, 56. Yes. So he's older than I said.
Yes. So
ago.
He's been aged simply by listening to this podcast. Because with age comes wisdom, and you're all a lot wiser after listening to
There
our
you go.
Facts.
He's not human. He's a machine.
Yeah. He's...
He will break you, guys. He will
watch Rocky IV. Do yourself
exactly.
a favor.
Exactly.
Rocky. Rocky IV.
I just love that montage of him of Rocky training in like the coldest weather,
punching the raw meat.
Barn. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Was that the first? Isn't it that one where he's punching raw meat?
The first was
that's
raw
the
meat.
First one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But Rocky IV was when he was in Russia.
Yes, and like, he's in a barn and shit like that.
Oh, because
they didn't give him any like weights. He had to like make all of his own stuff. Totally.
He wanted to get away from Adrian because she was being naggy and don't go. He killed Apollo.
Yes. And I remember them being like, here's your workout thing, and it's the barn with nothing in it.
Nothing. Ropes and pulleys and rocks.
And like chains.
You guys were in spring for a couple of barbells.
Yeah, totally. Do you even lift? Yet.
And there, in Rocky IV also, I believe that was the debut of the robot, right? The robot that his uncle had delivering him beer and stuff like that. Remember? Was that number 3? I think it was in 4. Where in Rocky IV, he was like really rich and well off, and Apollo Creed.
I think that was 3.
Apollo Creed was in the Apollo Creed was in the swimming pool, and like a robot comes up with him.
Right.
3?
I think it's 3. Know. Or the beginning of 4. I'll have to go rewatch him.
I don't know.
And apparently he almost killed Sylvester Stallone during the filming of Rocky IV.
Oh, like for real?
Yeah, there was, for one take, Stallone had the idea to stop faking it and play it real for the camera. So for a good 15 seconds, Dolph Lundgren pounded him so hard that he wound up in intensive care in London for 9 days with life-threatening heart injuries.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And,
That's a dumb... I mean, look at Dolph Lundgren. That's a dumb idea. Don't tell him to really punch you. No.
The insurance company didn't want to pay Stallone's claim because they said the injury is more in line with a head-on car crash, and Stallone said in a 2006 interview, well, have you seen Dolph Lundgren? That's a truck. That's a steering wheel. That's a head-on collision. And they honored the insurance claim.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah. That is amazing.
What would you name April? Back to your naming job.
I failed the first test. Why are you giving me another one?
If you had to name a truck... based on Dolph Lundgren.
Lundgrenium.
A truck.
Name a truck. Name a truck.
Inspired by Dolph. Yeah.
The Chevy something.
I mean, it would just be the Chevy Drago.
I mean, it
had to be.
It takes up 6 lanes.
Yeah.
Chevy Drago.
Yes.
God damn, that's funny.
Yeah, with new anti-lock brakes, I will break you.
Yes.
Chevy, if you're listening,
and Chevy Drago brakes break you.
It's not the
Yakov Smirnoff does the GPS.
it's not a truck. It's a machine.
So
yes.
Do you have any stuff to plug? Any fun stuff coming up?
I am still hosting my podcast called Go Bayside.
Go Bayside, which is doing well. I see
it's doing quite well. It's Saved by the Bell podcast.
Hell yeah!
I'm closing in on the last few episodes, so that's. That's what I do, and then I'm on Chelsea Lately every couple of weeks.
Nice.
Until the end.
Yeah, what are you guys going to do?
Yes.
Are you going to continue the podcast with different guests for different episodes?
No, I'm done when it's over.
Are you gonna choose a new show?
I'm not going to do another. I'll do another podcast, but it's not going to be another show.
It's not going to be lashed to the mast of a pop culture product.
No, I've gotten emails from people being like, you should do 90210 or do Full House or do something like that. Yeah. And like... there's no other show, and I watched those shows growing up, but there's nothing I know as intimately as Saved by the Bell.
Gotcha.
So I'm not, I think I'll just have a whole different
idea. Yeah, just have that be a complete work.
Yeah, I think that's, I like that it kind of has like a finite, it's like, nope, it's over.
Yeah,
it's
beginning and end. That way people can, watch along.
Yeah, you guys can revisit it until the end of time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And are you going to be appearing on her new Netflix show?
I have no, that's not even happening until 2016. Okay. So it's like, we really have no,
Gotcha.
She like literally just signed that deal, so we all have no idea.
Cool.
It's like,
well,
that's like not happening until the Justice League movie comes out and everybody hates it.
Oh, Batman. Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justin.
Right.
Dawn of Justin. Batman v. Superman v. Wonder Woman v. Aquaman v. Cyborg. Too many characters.
Yeah. It's a Supreme Court of superheroes.
Superheroes.
And justice will be delivered.
Cool. So go Bayside on iTunes.
Go Bayside. Yes. Chelsea Lately.
Chelsea Lately.
At APEY on Twitter, much like if you were trying to describe the new Planet of the Blank movie.
Yeah, it's very
kind of
APEY.
Very APEY.
It's also great. Go see it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Also on Instagram, of course it is. It's Planet of the Apes. It's going to be good.
Doy.
Fucking apes.
Sorry. My bad.
Apes on horses. Of course, that logic got me in to see Transformers 4.
Exactly. Exactly.
Robots on dinosaur robots. That doesn't. That logic doesn't hold up. On Instagram, what's your Instagram?
April Rich.
Very good. As usual, you can follow me on Twitter at MyNameIsRazzle2.
And I am at OsteoFerocious. And if you'd like to get to know the podcast a little bit on Twitter, you can follow us at TWL Podcast. We're on Gmail, TWLPodcast@gmail.com. And Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. Like it. Love it. Share our posts.
Share our posts. Tell your friends about it.
Yeah, and guys, as always, we appreciate the kind words and the ratings on iTunes.
Oh, we love it. Thank you, guys.
Keep it up. Make a second account. Do it again.
Yeah.
If you have the time. I don't want to take time out of your day.
Steal your friend's iPhone and review from there, you know.
I prefer borrow it, you know, give it back, because then...
Sure.
Yeah.
No. Semantics. Dialogue. Yes. Steal it like a beach and then give it back.
Semantics. Dialogue.
Math.
Cellular telephones. Podcast. Anyway, this is going off the rails.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate it. We appreciate all your support. And April, once again, thanks for
doing
this.
Thank you.
And for those of you, start being jealous now, because you'll probably hear about it next episode. But me and April are going to see Huey motherfucking U.S.
Oh, my God.
As you know, if you've been with us since the beginning.
And also the news.
Did not show up.
As if you've been following along and you heard the last podcast with April, fucking almost like 40 episodes ago, she was like 5 or 6, long time ago. April and I are huge fans of Huey Lewis and the News, and he's playing in Del Mar on Tuesday. I don't know where that's at. I think it's near Irvine.
Do we have good seats? Is this just like a general admission?
No, we have great seats.
Okay, good.
We got a table, like 10 rows from the
good.
The seats are amazing.
Good.
And we're going to see Huey Lewis.
So add Razzle on Snapchat. He will send you snippets of the concert.
Totally.
I will be losing so many Instagram friends by my photos.
Oh,
and videos.
We'll be like dueling Instagram posts to this.
So goddamn. Oh, that's a funny idea.
I've seen him before, and he plays nothing but hits.
Nothing but hits. I've seen him.
Give the people what they want. They paid money to be here.
Yeah.
Deliver.
I hope he plays Jacob's Ladder or Walking on a Thin Line.
He'll play those.
I've seen him a couple times, and he always plays the hits. And my brother seen him 3 weeks ago in Michigan, and he said it was amazing. And I'm very excited. And
I'm psyched too. I'm totally psyched.
So next time you see these guys, ask them about the show.
Come on.
And, don't be a jerk. Ask them how their time was.
We'll probably be live tweeting it. At least I won't.
Of course.
Yeah.
So that hashtag will be TWL Q News.
Q News.
Hashtag TWL Q News.
Hulu.
TWL Hulu.
It'll be live streaming on Hulu.com.
Hulu.
So funny. All right. Thanks, April, for joining us.
Yes.
Thanks, Aristotle, once again, for being awesome. Thanks to the listeners. Tell your friends. And as always...
And if you want to change yourself, you want to change your personality, remember, yes, we can sformium.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.